1-800-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It is the Rick Emerson Show, and we're in the midst of a Jackson watch. On the line is $20 a week for the blind. It seems like the least Jesus could do is incarcerate Michael Jackson at this point. All right, so let's see if I got this right. So Jackson woke up this morning. This is the story. Allegedly, Michael Jackson woke up, had back problems, went to the hospital, but neglected to tell the judge, his attorneys, or like anyone, that he was doing it. Didn't show up to court. The judge issued a bench warrant and said, if you're not here in an hour, you know, there's going to be a warrant for your arrest. He wasn't there in an hour. He missed it, the deadline. He got there late. He now has forfeited the $3 million bail and quite possibly it could be locked up. He showed up at court late. I'm sorry, what's that?
Obviously, he's a poor risk for the bondsman.
Well, I mean, well, we were talking about that. When a bond is posted, you are the property
right.
of the bondsman.
You're being mortgaged, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's like taking out a lien on your house. So he shows up, and they're showing him right there. He stumbles out of the SUV. He's wearing what either are pajamas or hammer pants, depending on one's assessment of the situation. They're bad.
Going with hammer. You're going with pajama.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're fashion outcry.
I thought they were muscle pants when I first saw them. I was like, that's what they are. He's like, he's going to the gym.
People are
going to
want them.
Yeah, 1987. So he gets out wearing these bad pants, sandals, and socks, I think. A white T-shirt and then this black jacket over it. But they bring him into court. And then what? They bring him into court and then they drag him back out of court. Not drag him, but he walks back out of court into a holding room where he still is. There's this creepy nutcase dad who ought to be horsewhipped.
Man, he looks like a caricature of an evil person.
Joe Jackson?
Like, his eyebrows? And,
oh, yeah. You should have seen the VH1 documentary.
He pretty much isn't. Well, you know, he's a terrible person.
Well, I don't really know a lot about the whole Jackson history. I know it was bad.
He's a big beater. He's a beater, is what he was. By everyone's admission.
He blamed it on days at the steel mill.
Yeah. Just comes over, you damn kids, wham! With all manner of blunt objects. Yeah, he looks like a really evil Cab Calloway. Is what the Joe Jackson looks like. And Jackson, he's having to be held up by at least two people. And you said, Sarah, you think it's an act. You think he's putting it on. He's faking it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's starting to get desperate. I think the trial's going to go poorly for him.
Well, I mean,
he's having a problem taking it seriously.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, and he's not. Yeah, and he's not showing his attorney any respect by not telling him about it.
Attorney.
It's just pissing everybody off.
Tom Ezra guy's not happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's faking or not, but he does. He looks doped up to me. He looks like...
He's on Jesus juice?
Yeah. Yes. Well, whether the back problems are real or not, it looks like he's on... I mean, I remember being actually on back medication. I remember I took pills for my back. I took these great things called Loratab. And
how are they?
Oh, they're fantastic. I mean, I had to quit taking them because they were so good. It's like I had this realization, like, I can never take these again. But, oh, yeah, those are clearly pajamas. Oh, how sad.
They're like blue floral.
You know what they are? They're like culottes. What are those?
maybe it was laundry day.
It looks like Barbara Eden or something.
A Top Shot.
So he's been taken in there, but... God, that guy's just skinny and freaky looking, and it's clearly a wig because he's got different hair than he had on yesterday.
Mm-hmm, it's longer.
So this
it might have fallen off in the emergency room. They just put it back on crooked.
The second half, today was going to be the second half of the accuser's trial because we had the sister and then we had the brother of the accuser, and yesterday they had the actual accuser. And today was supposed to be the second half of the actual accuser's testimony. And you know, there's some contradictions and whatnot, but it's like, I mean, I don't know if the kid's telling the truth or not, but there was nothing really damaging. I mean, the kid told the story differently each time, but they've said that even, you know...
Yeah, we've read it on The Smoking Gun before.
Yeah,
anyway.
But it's like they said, you know, even an adult telling something that's true, you know, details change over time. So I don't know whether the kid's... But so it certainly wasn't good testimony for Jackson. The problem with Michael Jackson, I think, is that... We do just the tiniest, dumbest, stupidest radio program on Earth. And there's not a lot of them, but there, you know, but there are. Sometimes you will meet people who will just really like kiss your ass for no reason, even because they're not, because they think the show's a lot better than it is. They think that we're somehow more important than we are. And so you'll get the occasional sales weasel or somebody that'll just come by and just be polishing your apples, for no reason. And we're lame and retarded. So I can't imagine the butt kissing that goes on in the world of a real celebrity, much less Michael Jackson. And so you're clearly dealing with a guy who never, ever, 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 and I'm not passing judgment, but it never has to play by anybody's rules but his own. Never has to be anyway. It's like how Eddie Van Halen got busted for taking a handgun onto an airplane a while back, and he's like, ah, I always fly on my own planes. I can bring on all my guns. And it's like he just had a man who had never had to deal with the real world and the way it operates. And that's Jackson, which is why he has so much difficulty taking this seriously. Had anybody ever served in a jury?
No.
All right.
No.
I mean, I can't imagine the jury's going to be happy with this. I mean, as exciting as it must be to be a Michael Jackson juror, I mean, it's also, you know, just every day they're there, it's another day they're not getting paid, they're not at their job, they're whatever. So it's got to bug them that Jackson's just blowing them off, just not showing up, especially on the... It looks especially bad because it's the second day that the kid was supposed to be on there saying, like, and then he touched my, penis, you know? And so... They have the whole day yesterday of the kid saying that Jackson groped him and was trying to molest him or was molesting him. And so just as that testimony is about to get especially ugly, Jackson suddenly feigns all this what's it and fails to show up. So, all right. Well, should we proceed with some of the other news?
We have a couple of other Jackson things.
Well, let's finish the Jackson watch, and we'll stay with this, and we'll let you know what happens.
I'll keep one ear on it and see what's going on.
And I got the ticker up here. So it looks like he's still in his holding room now. So just to recap one final time. So Jackson had an arrest warrant issued this morning because he didn't show up to court. He forfeits the bail. He does show up, but late. He misses the deadline. He looks terrible. He's high. He's wearing pajamas. This just sounds so surreal. This just sounds like the best story ever. And now the judge has him in a holding room somewhere, and maybe his fingers are being slammed in a drawer, or Andy Sipowicz is beating him with a hose. We're not sure. But we'll let you know as soon as we know what's going on with Michael Jackson. Well, so you stay right here, because we are the only live local talk show broadcasting in this time slot right here, so
as
we are live.
The green hands are being shackled.
Somebody asked if his feet were green. You can't tell, because I'm pretty sure that he was wearing socks with his sandals, which would go with the rest of his fashion faux pas today. Here's Tim Riley.
So meanwhile, if we go back to the courtroom yesterday, Santa Barbara News Press reporter Don Hobbs describes how the boy described Michael Jackson in the courtroom.
Well, actually, it was a much-anticipated moment. Reporters have been waiting to see this boy in person for the last year. Jurors who have seen him over the last week in various videos and photographs were almost on the edge of their seat as he walked in. The media was sitting on the edge, craning their necks to look over. When the boy walked in, he was very, very, very straight and stood very straight, appeared confident, sat down in the seat. Some of the jurors actually smiled over at him as if to try to make him comfortable with their presence.
This is Jackson or the kid?
The kid.
Oh, they're trying to make the kid comfortable. Yeah, the kid's testimony, by all accounts, was bad, but not terrible. See, the thing is, the terrible testimony was supposed to come today.
The accuser seated at the witness stand.
Really?
Yeah, except it's on a channel that we can't broadcast.
All right. Okay. So, by the way, you're listening to KFTK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM, Salem, and Intercom Station.
Meanwhile, the woman describes how the boy described Michael Jackson in the courtroom.
He looks over at Michael Jackson. He turns back to Mr. Sneddon and says, yes. Mr. Sneddon then asks, and who is he? He looked again directly at Michael Jackson and said, Michael Jackson.
All right. Let's see. So... Jury appears at Jack. Okay, so the jury has been seated at the Jackson trial. Oh, this is so disappointing. So court appears to be resuming. Oh, come on.
But they could send him away. Maybe
that's
they
right.
Bring him in and send him away.
They could. That's right. Well, that's true, because I guess even because OJ was locked up that whole time. So I guess now this is true. Now this is the good. But I got some good news, as Robert Plant would say. The good news is that OJ, of course, was there every day. Well, I mean, hell, everybody unless you're Michael Jackson. Not everybody, but many people are under arrest, even as they're, you know, they show to court every day, but then they have to go back to the hole. So it is possible. All is not lost. All is never lost. It is possible that Jackson's still going to go to the clink, even though the trial is actually continuing right now. All right. Do we have other...
I got a couple things here. Yeah. It's okay for Letterman to tell jokes about it.
Well, now Michael Jackson has been accused of leaking grand jury testimony.
Yep.
You know, I would hate to see Michael get himself into some kind of legal trouble.
Not okay for Leno, who last night brought in Roseanne Barr to do the dirty work.
Defense lawyers say Michael might testify. They don't really want him to, but they think it's the only way they could get his nose to grow back.
I gotta say, as much as I hate Jay Leno, he has a really great shtick here, where, because, you know, he's legally forbidden from telling Jackson jokes because he's on the jury list, or on the witness list. So every night he has a different celebrity come on and tell his Jackson jokes for him. And as much as I don't like Jay Leno, that's like the dancing Itos. You know, because that's what put him on top, was the OJ stuff. And that's a great shtick of having a different celebrity come on every night and read his Jackson jokes. I gotta give it up for Leno, whoever thought of that. That's comedic gold is what that is.
Back to the top of the page now, page one, as we begin the...
Page one.
We're supposed to start.
And now, we're not going to close the Jackson Watch whenever we finish.
No, we're
going to
keep it open.
We will continue. Today's Jackson Watch will be open-ended. He, by the way, a total of an hour and 40 minutes late. You know, if you and I were an hour and 40 minutes late, they would just shoot us when we walked in. Hell, you know, I got to tell you this. Okay, Mike, for reasons, I get a stupid traffic thing. It's going like 80 miles an hour and a 35 or something, but Mike... Aunt Laura was in court last night. It was just traffic court. But it's like she had to be on time. Her ass was it was just traffic court. And they told her, like, you're late. We're gonna screw with you. So, you know, she couldn't be no hour and 40 minutes late. Anyway, Michael Jackson is in the courtroom. They said, let's bring up a little bit of MSNBC here, Sarah. You can't just bring it up on the...
That the bailiffs would then take custody of him at the end of the testimony and place him in the basement of the facility, which is a jail holding facility. He would then be transported to the Santa Maria station, where there is a jail.
This is Jim Thomas, former Santa Barbara County Sheriff.
Coming to court or not tomorrow, he would either stay there or be transported to Santa Barbara. And again, as normal,
judges
then
and chambers
would remain
right
in the custody of the sheriff for the remainder of the trial.
So this is the key question.
Theoretical, I think, though.
What does the jury know about what happened, and what will they see in terms of possible arrest?
Goddamn jury's not been sequestered.
Well, they won't see anything in the arrest, I don't believe.
Oh, they're going to go home and turn on the television because they all want to read about the case that they're part of.
He would be escorted out normally. However, the judge will be very careful to explain to the jury what happened, like he did the last time when he went to Marion Hospital with the flu. So I don't think the jury is going to have any question about what the issue is. I think whether the judge puts him in custody or not will probably depend upon any conversation that the judge may have had with the hospital. For example, if he showed up at the hospital and he was under the influence of painkillers at that time, I don't think the judge would be very sympathetic. If he showed up and then was issued the painkillers by the doctors at the hospital, then that may make a difference.
Do you think that legitimacy of the medical issue is really a factor here? Or
listen to MSNBC talking about Michael Jackson, who showed up an hour and 40 minutes late to court. The issue now is whether he's going to be put in custody for blowing off court. You'll listen to the Rick Emerson Show live.
The civil cases that went through here a couple of years ago, he had the same situation that happened. That judge was not as strict, and in some cases, he showed up a half a day late in court. This judge is just not going to tolerate that.
Well, this judge has been a hard ass, too.
It would be Judge Melville. Give us.
Yeah, he better not back down now.
I hope he's so disappointed in the legal. Where's the law? Like, I'm suddenly become a lake. Oswego person.
Don't forget, you're in Reagan country in this area.
That's true. It is a conservative part of California.
I think it's a good process. It starts at 8:30. He has three 10 to 15 minute breaks, and court is out at 2:30. So in a way, it's convenient.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and continue with the news here. It looks like the judge is in chambers, and so that's. I think Jim Thompson is his name. He's the former Santa Barbara County Sheriff, and he was talking about what would happen if the judge decides to put Jackson in the clink. For some portion of the trial, which, again, I have promised sweet Jesus, Almighty Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that I will give $20 a week to blind children for every week that he keeps Michael Jackson locked up. By the way, that doesn't count the prison sentence when he's convicted.
No,
I'm only
true.
Talking about intermediary. I'm only talking about interim.
You don't want to give too much to the children.
I don't want to help too many blind children.
You like to do it anonymously.
Talking about, yes. This is interim incarceration only. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So back to the top of the page. Pistol-packing residents of rural Clackamas County can't count on one deputy covering some 200 square miles to protect them from drug dealers. So they tell Fox 12 News they may have to use a little frontier justice.
If they want us to take care of it ourselves, we will, but it's not the route we really want to go.
And if a local citizen, like on a watch, has to get rid of it and do it, I guess that's what we're going to have to do.
All right. So what is that? They're all going to be armed and something?
Yep, they're armed.
All right. Wait, is Michael Jackson in the courtroom?
He's in the courtroom.
He is in the courtroom as we speak.
Can I go back up?
Let's bring up the MSNBC thing here.
Dr. Zanianez Cottage Hospital. Perhaps he had, but it's going to
this
be very
This is Jim Thomas, former Santa Barbara County.
The judge will not discriminate against Michael Jackson for a legitimate illness, but I don't think he will tolerate a feigned illness. And so that's going to be a call that probably comes from the medical staff at Zanianez Cottage Hospital.
All right. A lot of good insights. Jim Thomas, MSNBC analyst, will ask you to hold on there while I turn things over to Allison. Earlier today, when Michael Jackson finally entered the
court. Good for her. She used to be a VJ.
Hey, that's what's her name from MTV. What is her name? Allison something.
AP crime.
She was an MTV news person, right?
Describe Jackson's demeanor when he finally entered the courtroom. Let's listen to it.
Michael Jackson has arrived at court. He looked very weak, very pale.
This woman, on the other hand, looks like Helen Thomas.
Oh, she used to be on MTV?
80 years ago.
One of the first.
He was wearing pajama bottoms and a T-shirt and
Nina Blackwood.
A jacket over it. And appears
that's a very unfortunate looking woman.
Definitely to be in distress. His hair was not combed. And we're waiting to see what's going to happen. He went into the courtroom briefly and then was taken out by his lawyers to the restroom. And
I can't imagine forfeiting $3 million.
Going to have to say about this. He definitely looks like he's in distress.
And that's Linda Deutsch of AP. She's one of their reporters reporting on Michael Jackson's demeanor when he entered the courtroom.
What is her full
name? Look at her. She got some glasses and toned down her hair. She's all professional.
From Burbank, California. There's something that's really interesting about this, Marshall.
She's distractingly
deliberating,
beautiful.
How do they take into account what the defendant, the way he treats the court, because that seems to be the big issue with Judge Melville.
This is Marshall Henson, a jury consultant.
Process.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Respect for the court.
I've seen this guy on Dan Abrams.
Is this
terrible.
Is this person that's manipulating the process, or is this person being upfront and honest about his condition? Those are the types of issues that jurors have to consider when they deliberate.
This guy's thick. But he sounds like a slightly slow child.
He's a third stringer.
I mean, this all could have been avoided if the lines of communication would have been open
during the reenactment.
This is a
the judge
PR
is in chambers, so the trial actually hasn't started.
Thus far, they haven't made any official statement with regard to what's transpired. They're not doing any type of spin control. And certainly, if in fact you're a true advocate for your client, wouldn't you want to get your story out first? That has not happened. This is going to be a really interesting situation
as we
continue to watch this, because Michael Jackson is facing some severe penalties.
Let's talk about
the severe penalties.
Judge and it's that person's effect on the jury. Melville clearly has laid down the law.
I'm officially in love with this woman.
Can you be more specific about that?
In terms of when juries are in the jury room, as someone who's a jury consultant, what effect
does Sarah, you want to drop the MSNBC? I'm going to get these calls here. Hi, Rick Emerson chose this.
Hey, this is Jason calling out Portland.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, it's Allison Stewart from MTV.
Allison Stewart, that's right. Yeah. I'm such a guy. I'm all in love with her. I don't even remember her name.
Boy, that's sad.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson chose this.
I was just going to tell him who that was.
Allison Stewart. Man, I don't remember her being this hot when she was on MTV.
Yeah, she had much frizzier hair, and she wasn't quite as tall. She was a little heavier, but...
And she was sort of early 90s looking. She was all kind of alt looking. Yeah.
Yeah, and just my little brush with greatness. I saw her at Lollapalooza in 94.
Was she pretty in person?
No, she was a little chunky. She's pretty, but she just wasn't as pretty as she is now.
She wouldn't put together well.
Exactly.
She hadn't come up well, as the British say.
She didn't have any handlers yet.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, Allison Stewart is... I'm going to start stalking her.
You've got to stop.
Seriously, I'm actually having to look away from the screen.
I know. You're getting a little flushed. It's making us all uncomfortable.
I can't look at her anymore. She's won my heart. Well, okay. So I guess we're all waiting.
To see what the punishment is.
Yeah, we're all waiting to see if the judge is going to drop the hammer on this guy. All right, let's do this. The judge in the chambers. So, if anybody has been late to court, and with this audience, don't lie. I've never been to court.
We
know you have.
Yeah.
Tim, you've been arrested? No, of course not. Sarah? No, of course not. I have, though. You're among friend here. I've been arrested. I've sat in the cell. I wasn't down for hard time or nothing. But, I mean, we've all been in court. So if you've been to court and if you've arrived late and earned the wrath of the judge, or if you've seen it happen, like, what happens when you're this late to court? Like, what do they do to you? So it's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100. 1-877-535-9100. Be nice to Sarah. She doesn't have a phone screener right now. So be nice. She's having to produce the show and tolerate me and make wacky remarks and screen the phones and run MSNBC. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. So if you've been late to court or you've seen this happen where somebody, you know, whatever, where somebody screws with the judge, it's an hour and 40 minutes late. So what happens there? Like, what is the typical punishment for this? And if you're like a lawyer or something, we'd like to, you know, we'd also take a lawyer, because a lawyer knows this kind of stuff. Michael in Tualatin, what's up?
Yeah, I was late by 10 minutes, and it was the police fault at the security gate, and I got an extra day of work released.
I'm sorry, say that. I had a thing happening there. What? Say it one more time.
Oh, I was late by 10 minutes because of security at the front of the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
And I got an extra day of work released.
Really?
And that's with the deputy saying it was their fault, their backlog.
And so, but you were late, but it wasn't your fault?
Yeah, it wasn't even my fault. It was the deputy's fault.
Okay.
He came in to the court and told the judge we had, because the line went out of the courthouse, through the courtyard and everything. And he's like, it wasn't his fault. He's been here for an hour and a half. We're just so short-handed, and the judge is like, well, you should have shown up 2 hours instead of an hour and a half.
Right. So, and that's the thing where it's because it wasn't your fault, they just sort of wrote it off.
Yep.
All right. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's Michael in Tualatin there.
Man, other stations besides MSNBC have really good informants because they're saying exactly what's happening in the court right now.
Talk on MSNBC. I know, they suck. What are you going to do?
Okay, well, this one's saying that...
Allison Stewart, though.
Yeah, Jackson Jury seated, accusers on the stand, judge and lawyers are all in chambers.
Yeah, see, so clearly what they're talking about right now...
They're waiting to hear from the hospital to see if this was fake or not.
And they're waiting for the hospital to say whether he was doped up when he got there. Because clearly, I mean, he's just high as a kite. You could tell. I mean, he just came in, and he was just high as an airplane. And so the question is, as I understand it, by the way, we're talking to about the Michael Jackson. It was an hour and 40 minutes late to court this morning. They issued an arrest warrant. He forfeited apparently $3 million in bail. He could be incarcerated, could be locked up for the duration of the trial, OJ style. And so, so when he came to court, he got out of the SUV wearing pajamas, high, bad wig, just terrible. And clearly, to my mind anyway, obviously looked like he was under the influence of some sort of chemical. So the question is whether he was high when he got to the hospital. Because if he was high when he went there, the judge probably going to pound him. Because that implies that he, you know, whatever. But if he's just high because of something they gave him at the hospital, you know, who knows? David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Howdy. Yeah, I haven't been dumb enough to show up late to court because that's really dumb. But yeah, they immediately take you out and they put you in a holding cell and then you get booked.
So you've seen it happen. So if you're late to court, they take you to the holding cell and then you're booked. And then what do they just take you to jail from there or they take you back into the court or?
Oh, well, yeah, sit in the holding cell for about 12 hours until you get a room.
Oh, that's where I went. Yeah. See, so I went to the holding cell and then they let me go because somebody was good enough to come and bail me out.
Yeah. But even worse. If you show up baked,
yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's flouting the law.
Yeah, and once again, I just have to say it. It's dumb.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Stupid.
All right.
Thanks, bud.
There you go. That's David. Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is John. How you doing?
Hey, John. What's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, you know what makes me mad is that he was over an hour and a half late for the court, but then when he got there, he started waving to everybody and stopping.
Well, and the other, especially because he's got a back problem. I mean, I don't know. Did you see? I mean, he gets out of the SUV and he does that thing where he gets out of the SUV and then he turns around. He turns around on his heel and flashes the V sign to everybody. I don't know if you ever had a back injury, but you don't really do a lot of spinning. You know?
Well, you know, when you're late for court, you don't ask for applause, huh?
Yeah, you just go on in and get your business done.
you run in there as fast as you can, if you have crutches or not.
All right. I'm with
you,
man.
You have no respect for the system. Later.
I'm with you. There you go. All right, let's bring up the MSNBC sound. Looks like he's...
This morning, but the public will be making some inferences. Is it correct to assume that Michael Jackson, he was scared? He started to hear testimony that rang
so we're talking...
through, and so he decided...
MSNBC,
you know,
Jackson's
well.
In the courtroom, and they're talking to the Stacey guy who's a friend of the Jackson family.
Well, I'm sure some in the public
Stacey
will
Brown.
Be thinking that it's easy to make that leap right now without hearing the whole story. I was listening to Marshall a little while ago talking about whether or not Jackson's people should put out a statement, you know, for sort of a PR spin.
He was
a PR nightmare.
Flack.
Well, I think the only thing that they have to worry about is Judge Melville, not what the public thinks at this point. I think it's important to keep focus on the trial and keep that in mind, that this is not about how the public is going to perceive you. This is about what the judge is going to do.
I know that
Jackson,
I made this statement before, and it's
that
beyond
today.
Obvious,
he
but goddamn, he looks like a skeleton.
And arrested as...
I mean, he literally looks like Skeletor.
But anyone who knows Michael Jackson knows that public image is very crucial for him.
Yeah, that's
a number of folks, one even testified so far in this trial. Michael Jackson does care about his image, and what does this exactly show to the public?
I can't believe he went.
Well, it does.
I know this sounds. I know how this. I can't believe he went to the house in those pajamas. I mean, because that's the thing, right? He's so into his appearance and how he looks. And
no, don't you think that's for a sympathy vote, though? I completely agree.
No, my feeling is it was laundry day and this came at the wrong time.
Well, because in his own weird way, he's a very stylish dresser.
Like the flu.
In his own kind of strange fashion.
Person. So I'm sure that there's a lot to answer for. And you're right. He does care a lot about his public image. And so it remains to be seen what's going on.
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
From your connections with the Jackson family, had you heard anything before this happened about having a bad back, that his back was flaring up at all?
No, I can't say that I have. And I have spoken to a few people.
And his pajamas are pulled up into the middle of his stomach.
And,
like an old man playing golf. Seriously.
God, look at those. They're terrible.
At all.
And he is wearing sandals with socks.
Stick around. Friend of the Jackson.
What color are all those socks?
White.
We'll be getting back to you in a couple minutes, Allison. It was not court as usual this morning
in the
Michael Jackson trial. A judge had to issue a bench warrant for his arrest when the singer...
Is he wearing a T-shirt under that? Sport coat?
Yeah, it's a...
It's like a button-up. A collarless one.
Yeah. And then he's got the black jacket.
Oh, like a Henley type of T-shirt.
Expired, I should say. Court has now officially begun. Third questions. Will Michael Jackson be arrested because of his activities this morning?
Please.
Was Michael Jackson really ill? Has Tom Mesero lost control of his client? We're going to have all those answers for you here at MSNBC.
All right. There you go. There's the lovely and talented Allison Stewart, who is now, in my estimation, the greatest news person of all time.
Boy.
That's, geez, beautiful. Okay, I got to minimize the little TV screen here. I can't watch anymore. Okay. Well, do we want to try to do any the actual news today other than this? It's now 10:20. This program, doesn't it seem like the show just started?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like we just came on the air like 5 minutes ago?
I hope other people find this as interesting as we do.
Oh, I don't care. This is the best thing ever. Man, especially because it's still lingering out there whether they're going to put him in the clink or not. Because that's the thing. Because here's the thing. We're just going to put these calls on hold here. So if you're calling in, you're just going to get on hold, and then we'll get to you in a while. But here's the thing is that the reason that the judge is so pissed off is because he's an hour and 40 minutes late. Which means it screws the whole trial because this judge has been like clockwork. Remember how they were saying jury selection was going to take like a month and a half and it took 6 days? This judge isn't effing around. He's, he's making things happen. And so along comes Jackson, just a fly in the ointment, a monkey in the wrench, as John McClane would say in Die Hard.
That caller had a great idea. Just think of the reenactment tonight for this. That's going to be on E.
Oh, yeah,
that's going to be
And how
fun.
Are they going to find a pair of pajamas that exact same color?
Let's see, 7:30 recap. You know, I'm going to go to TiVo.com right now. I'm going to TiVo. The hell was I saying? But my final point is this, that the judge has been so obsessed with keeping this trial running on time. That's why this is going to piss him off so much. So... clearly, they're getting right into the judge is like, screw it, we'll deal with the punishment later, you know.
Yep, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's like the mom, like, that's like when your mom, you know, when you set the couch on fire by playing with matches, your mom is like, okay, you'll get your punishment later. Right now, we're going to put the fire. So, whatever. So, so the punishment's going to happen later on. So, we'll have news on that as it happens. Let's take this break. And do we want to do some news when we come back?
If you want, or you can say the hell with it. It's up to you.
Well, let's come back. We'll do a little bit of news. We have a couple watches, some e-cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Jen Lane's coming up. It's Jen Lane's birthday, by the way. What else? We have top five gadgets of all time. Rick Emerson's kids culture quiz. So forth. We have a fantastic Jolie segment today. See if we have time to get to it. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. You go. Don't go anywhere.
In Portland, it's 503-535-9100. Outside Portland, it's 1-877-535-9100. You can also email him at rick@rickemerson.com.
All right, 503-535-9100. We'll keep you updated on what happens with Jackson. It looks like it's not going to be until the end of the court day, though. It looks like they're going to go ahead and do the trial because the judge isn't the kind that likes to get behind. And then we'll... Now, the end of the court day, I guess we'll find out if he gets tossed in the hole, which would be immensely satisfying, by the way. 503-535-9100. Here's what we're going to do. We'll try to get some actual news done here. And then we're going to have, Jen Lane's going to be here. It's her birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Jen. We're doing the Rick Emerson Kids Culture Quiz. I got these insane voicemail messages that this guy left me. Try to play those. And then we've got Jolie, and I'll go ahead and tell you right now, we have the best Jolie question today. I just told Sarah about this. And today's Jolie question is, I think without fail, without question, this is the best one we've ever had. As long story short, we won't say what it is, but because I don't think she wants us to use her name. But we got a letter from a woman. She's a single woman. She's out there. She meets some guy that she goes to school with, or they go to like a basket weaving class or something. Anyway, she meets some guy, and they're having that conversation. So, what kind of movies do you like? And they're having the whole getting to know each other conversation. And I don't think they've really dated. They were having coffee or something. And she says to the guy, she says, so what kind of music do you listen to? And he says, of course, I don't listen to music. I listen to talk radio. And she says, and she's a listener. She knows us. She's a listener to the show. And she says, really, what kind of talk radio do you listen to? And he says, I listen to Max 910, talk radio for guys. It sucks, though I turn it up, and I especially listen to the Rick Emerson Show. And so I swear to you, this is a real thing. This is not a thing we're making up. It's not a thing that we fabricated so that people would, because Lord knows I don't need an excuse to just talk about myself endlessly. So this is a real question. So her question for everyone, Jolie, you, me, us, everybody, her question is, What does it say about a guy? What else do you know about a guy just by knowing that he's a huge listener to this show? What else do you automatically know about him? And secondly, does that make him more or less likely that he's somebody you would date if you're a woman? So that's the question. I swear to you, that is the question. So we're going to get to that later on with Jolie. This, however, is Tim Riley.
So let's get back some of this local news here. 17-year-old Ray Chavez will be as good as new after getting 10 metal staples put in the skull by doctors following a baseball bat attack by a 15-year-old Milwaukee boy outside Linwood Elementary School.
I'm like this, and I just seen blood, and I just tilted my head like this, and then blood just gushed, just like drained all down my body.
I'm sorry? What country is he from?
I'm not sure.
Is that here?
Yes, it happened here.
How old is he?
17. And he was attacked by a bat by a 15-year-old.
Oh, you know, oh, okay, oh, all right, oh, okay. So that's why he's not probably.
Right.
Open your mouth all the way.
No.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's why.
I didn't know. I was distracted by this email saying, Rick, don't you wish that he would have arrived in footy pajamas? That would have completed the picture, really. If Jackson had just arrived in some sort of Winnie the Pooh foot pajamas, that really would have been the best thing ever. All right, so don't hit guys with bats.
No.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I guess Bill Clinton's out of the hospital, too. He appeared at Ease yesterday discussing the operation.
I hope God's not through with me yet.
Meanwhile, the Pope is still in the hospital, just in case. Dick Clark will not be going back to the hospital.
You know what the Pope sounds like? The Pope, I was just thinking about this the other day. The Pope kind of sounds like Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster, when he sees fire for the first time.
And he had an understanding.
Yeah. Like, if you sort of amped it up, and he was just sort of...
Sounds like when you're trying to push your dog off the couch.
Exactly. Totally. That's exactly right. Well spotted.
All right.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Let's do some e-cuts here.
Can we, please?
Yes.
I want to tell you, by the way, here's the e-cuts I did not choose today. I did not pick... What the hell did I pick? Bruce Willis and what's the other one?
John Stamos and Ian Gomez.
I don't know, Ian. What did I not pick? There was something horrible that I was going to...
Was it for the pacifier again?
I don't know. There was some set of e-cuts that I was going to come on and demand thanks from people for not picking them. That I was going to say that I passed over the following... I don't remember what they were, but it doesn't matter.
All right, here's your e-cuts.
In the new film, Hostage, Bruce Williams plays Jeff Telly.
Bruce Williams. What? Welcome, my friends.
He plays Jeff Telly, a former hostage negotiator, now retired following an unsuccessful operation on negotiation.
Here we imprison you, hold you, incarcerate you.
Yep. Now settled in a new environment, he finds himself thrust back into negotiations after people who need him to handle a hostage situation kidnap his wife and daughter. Bruce, talk about your character's struggle.
The metaphor, I guess, would be to climb a mountain. I guess. And as soon as he gets to the top of that mountain, he sees 20 more mountains that he has to climb and go down and climb the next mountain. And he never, because of his self-doubt and because of his failure in Los Angeles, he is plagued with self-doubt, and he never really thinks that he's going to be able to get his family back.
Sounds like he has back pain.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm stuck in the ham mode now. Ham. Okay.
Bruce, talk about working with a young cast.
Welcome.
The young children. Young men and women and kids in this film.
They're
some of the most talented actors that I've ever worked with. All committed. All willing to take big risks. And just all of them really turned in. Honest. Real.
God, just shut up.
Interesting.
Sweet holy God.
Interesting to watch performance.
Yeah, it's interesting
welcome,
to watch,
my friends. Welcome to TalkNet. We talk to you, with you, about you. About you, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, and all the things that make you so very special. Me? Yeah. I'm Bruce. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. Welcome to TalkNet.
TalkNet!
I wish I had that jingle. I would give anything to have it. Someone, God, a friend you can turn to. Someone to listen. Cause that's what friends do. Someone to listen. TalkNet. Someone who cares. And then there was a little instrumental bed, and they had this other horrible show, Myrna Lamb and Lee Mirabal. Lee Mirabal's thing was, there was Bruce Williams, who was sort of the, kiddo, did you have counsel when you bought your house? That was Bruce Williams. And there's this other terrible, I'm doing that thing. Hold on, I'm going to write it down. Yeah, I'm getting off the subject there.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Say, how about a funny new sitcom?
Who wouldn't more than anything, I wish for a funny new sitcom.
That really brings people to networks and droves, you know.
Speaking of which, just before we played it, speaking of networks and droves, did anyone here watch Dan Rather last night?
No, I didn't know what time he was on.
Do we even have sound from it?
No, nobody bothered. He'll be back again. They could do this every week and nobody would notice.
They really should. Well, because for the first... Look, I didn't see it, but all I know about it is this. Is that for the first time in like 80 years, CBS won the evening news last night by like a point or something.
Oh, yeah.
Not even by a lot. Mm-hmm. So they ought to have Dan Rather come back and retire like every 18 months or so. You know what it is? It's just all the righties. It's just all the conservatives tuning in to wish him goodbye. That's all it was. It was all the Republicans turning in to be like, ah, adios, you know, and to give him the middle finger. That's and he said courage, though. He did. He said, and good night, America. Courage. Sounds like Howard K. Smith or something. CBS Evening News, I'm Dan Rather. And it's like, meanwhile, I was just off doing something about forgetting he was even on the air.
Well, the zany new sitcom, Jake in Progress, which you're all going to watch, is a new series starring John Stamos of Full House.
John Stamos.
This time he plays a playboy publicist who can't decide what he wants in a relationship.
God, kill me. Kill me. Kill me. Hold me down and pound railroad spikes into my skull.
John, please talk about this show.
John.
The whole thing really is, it's a guy trying to kind of, it's spinning plates, you know, I mean, he's
spinning, like,
running,
you
know, this publicity world, which
running,
is always
jumping,
kind
climbing
of very,
trees.
Been interesting to me, where it's, you know, people are, you know, spinning tails and trying to put out fires here and there. And then doing the same thing in his life, in his love life, you know, trying to find the right girl, trying to find love. I mean, it's kind of like me. I mean, I've always kind of been in a relationship and always wanted to be in love.
Shut
you know?
Your head, John
and
Stamos.
I think, you know, we all are. And now, nowadays, it feels like people are a little older and still haven't found the one. And so I kind of want to explore that a little bit, you know.
I hate John Stamos.
Groundbreaking show has never been done before.
I want to hold John Stamos down and pack him full of cockroaches. That's what I want to do.
Hit him with an ashtray. Okay. Let's talk to Ian Gomez.
Who's Ian Gomez?
He's in the zany new sitcom that everyone's going to watch called Jake in Progress.
Okay.
He's going to talk about the relationship between Adrian and Jake.
The show is about a man named Jake, played by John Stamos, and he is this swing single guy who's a publicist in New York City.
Sounds
and,
funny.
And he actually wants to kind of settle down, I think. He wants to find the right woman, but he keeps meeting all these great single women, and he's having a hard time. I play Adrian, his best friend.
Adrian!
And I'm married. I'm a dentist. I live in the suburbs. And I want his life. And he kind of wants my life. And we're friends from college.
I'm going
to
kill myself.
So I don't really want him to settle down because then I won't have anything to live vicariously through. But on the other hand, he's my best friend, and I want him to be happy. So.
Well, this is replacing the CBS Evening News.
Seriously. Would you even notice?
No.
You know what? They could have replaced Dan Rather with a baboon like months ago.
No, one of those chimpanzees.
Hey, that's a great idea. They ought to have a newscast that's just done by a monkey. Literally.
At one time, they had a monkey on the Today Show, and Dick Clark, for a while, had a monkey on American Bandstand.
You know, you just do that. The UBS Evening News. With a monkey. And then he throws feces, and then it's like they just go to a commercial break. That's fantastic. I would watch that. What is the worst show on television right now, would you say? I have a reason for asking this, and I'm throwing it open to everyone
the
here.
The worst?
Sarah, Tim, the people. What is the worst show on television? And I don't mean a show that's so bad it's good. I mean a show that, like, you watch it and you feel like you're having staples packed into your colon.
Well, I've stopped watching TV because of the TiVo.
See, isn't that great?
Yes, yeah. I don't know anything.
I know. Fun. Tim's giving me the... I feel the guilt. I'm feeling the I'm feeling...
I know you're
feeling
busy
the guilty
with a stolen car.
The day I was headed out to do it, my truck got stolen. Anyway, Bruce, our former program director, the godlike Bruce Agler, called me. And Bruce was so great. He's like, so let me know when they're going to be going to Fry's. I love going to Fry's. I can't wait to make another trip out there. So it's like I found the wireless adapter now, but it's like every... God, I'm not thinking of my whole miserable life, but I had two.
We want to hear about it.
I had like three different meetings yesterday afternoon, none of which ended up happening. I had a conference call which didn't happen. I had another meeting at 2 that didn't happen. I had a meeting at 4 that didn't happen. So then all three of those meetings have been moved to today, where I already had a meeting at like 2:30. So, I mean, it's just a question of trying to find a date. And it doesn't, I'm not blaming you, Tim, but I'm just saying it doesn't help that you live 4 miles or the 4 hours away. From all of civilized humanity.
Right. It's not that far. I get here in about 20 minutes in the morning.
Yeah, but that's 3 a.m. So Tim lives 140 miles away from the station. So I do have the wireless USB adapter. But see, here's what...
Oh, you do have it in your possession.
It's like anticipation making the heart grow strong. Because here's what you'll be able to do. Yeah. Now, Sarah, you can see if you go to my screen right now and see what I'm doing. I'm going to TiVo Online. because I want to catch that Jackson read. Oh, what channel is it? E? Do anybody know?
70?
70.
70? Okay, now I'm going to TiVo Online. Now, note, I'm actually, what's that show called? The Jackson? Tim, you have the TV tonight. What's the Jackson reenactment called?
It is called.
It's on at 7:30.
E-News, Michael Jackson Trial, 565-855.
News.
It's a terrible show. It's the worst thing out there.
I'm there. I'm at TiVo Central, so I was putting in E-News. Now, they really got to pay me for this. I had a back bill, TiVo. So, see, and this is all the E-News that's on the CC. So you just pick the one you want, and then you click it, you can tape it. So it's, what's today, the 10th? So be at 7 o'clock?
7:30.
Oh, I got to search under Jackson Trial. Anyway, so then you click on it, and you can program your TiVo from here. It's just fantastic. All right, so I'm watching that tonight, though, because I quit watching that Jackson reenactment because it was lame. It was terrible. But see, tonight, I want to know how they're going to reenact him not being there. Although, I guess it is. Okay, here we go. E! News, Michael Jackson Trial. James Curtis hosts reenactments of the Michael Jackson trial and discusses today's proceedings.
Terrible show.
I just click on the name of the show, and then it'll bring up the window, and then I just hit the big red record button right here on the screen. So, all right, so I'll watch that tonight.
All right, do so.
Okay, but my question was, what is the worst show on television?
That is it.
The
commercial for the O. Do you like books? Not anymore.
I don't read.
It's on every commercial break.
Well, because here's why. It's because I was thinking about this John Stamos show and how none of us are going to be watching it, right? There's not a single one of us here is going to be watching it. What's another show that everybody watches that none of us do?
Ellen.
King of Queens.
Okay, see, there you go. Shows, that 70s show. I mean, stuff that people watch that we don't. So here's what I think we ought to do. I think every week we ought to pick a list of terrible shows, either in advance or whatever. But I think every week we ought to spin some sort of a wheel, and every week one of us has to watch an entire episode of a horrible television program just to take a bullet, you know, for it. So I think every week, and we'll spin it. We'll spin like a roulette wheel. So, like, we pick King of Queens. We spin a wheel, and one of us has to go home and watch a full episode of King of Queens. I think that's a great idea. Okay. All right, well, are we doing TV tonight?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Rocky V is on tonight with Sylvester Stallone.
Rocky V, where he fights an alien who's come here to steal Earth's water.
Broke, punchy, and at odds with his son. Boxer Rocky trains a hungry crocodile or contender. Then must match street smarts.
Rocky V, that's the best idea I've ever had.
On E! True Hollywood Story, a revealing profile of Kirstie Alley, who's on everywhere.
A revealing profile. Kind of hard not to reveal parts of it.
Watch the CBS Evening News at some point tonight, and it doesn't say when it's on, but we know it's on Coin, isn't it?
Someday, yeah.
That's that.
Okay. Well, we have a couple watches. Should we try to get at least one or two
before we do a snuff watch?
There's your snuff watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. I want to tell you that I've got a couple of emails like this. Rick, so help me God, if you do a snuff watch and in any way, shape, or form mock the life or death of Chris Ledoux, so help me God, I will rip your goddamn heart out of your chest with my bare effing hands. I'm not joking. Please respect my wishes. Thanks, Travis. Just, you know, I've got several emails this morning that are all kind of that same general tone.
Well, I'm the one reading it anyway.
Okay.
Country singer Chris Ledoux is dead at the age of 56. He's a world champion bareback rider who parlayed songs about cowboys he knew on the rodeo circuit into a successful country music career, dying yesterday from complications of liver cancer. He was 56, dying in Casper, Wyoming. What can they do for you there? He checked into Wyoming Medical Center earlier this week following complications from his cancer and was with family friends at the time of his death. Ledoux, little known outside the rodeo circuit until country superstar Garth Brooks paid tribute to him in a song, described his music as a combination of Western soul, sagebrush blues, cowboy folk, and rodeo rock and roll. Whatever. In November, Ledoux canceled several tour dates while undergoing treatment for cancer of the bile duct.
That's a bad way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Chris Ledoux, by the way, because Garth Brooks mentioned him in that song, Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old, right here on K-Hay. And he had that line about worn out tape of Chris LeDoux and bottle of whiskey and some whores too, or whatever it was he was thinking about. So
that's it.
All right, he's dead.
Not
bad. It's Thursday.
Nothing to do.
What can you do?
Because we're running so far behind, let's go to the Britney Watch.
Is your dog at home destroying things?
Yes.
Punishing you for being gone?
No, the dog is confined to my office and one restroom and a hallway into the bathroom. By a baby gate when I'm at work.
Now, my question is it true, do you think, that when you're gone from the house and the dog starts to destroy things, that he is sort of, in his small-brained way, punishing you for not paying attention to him?
Yes.
That's what I think, too.
Yes.
Because it's like, if we leave Max alone, it's like, we'll come home and he has shredded the mail, my DVDs, you know, whatever. And I think it's just because he's punishing us for not being around.
That's why I'm going through this quickly.
All right, here's your Britney Watch.
For once, Britney Spears is grateful for the paparazzi. She told Allure magazine that seeing photos of herself made her realize that she needed to lose weight. She told the magazine she let herself go once she got married and that her tummy is in the honeymoon after effect because she's been lounging around and eating and laying out with her husband, Kevin Federline.
Were you just making oinking sounds?
It was an eye. Spears also learned a serious lesson. In marriage, there's no room service. She said she and Kevin were like kids, ordering room service and going out a lot. Then suddenly they had the kids to deal with. She added that things are going smoother now. And for all this talk about Spears wanting a child of her own, she may have changed her mind on that, too. I'm not pregnant, she told the magazine. It's not something I'm striving for.
Okay, there you go.
Number two. Britney has to pose topless for Us Magazine. Oh, she doesn't have to. She is set to pose topless for Us Magazine on the cover. She is reported to be posing topless for forthcoming issue of the American fashion mag Allure.
This is such a scam. She always says this, and then she's covering everything. Look, can I just tell you this?
Especially if it's Us Weekly. Is Us Weekly?
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Us or a U.S. magazine?
It's Us Weekly.
Okay. Well,
I know.
There
confused.
Are lots of different magazines. I don't think she'd be topless on the cover of Us Weekly.
Well, then it says she's going to be posing topless for a forthcoming issue of Allure.
Okay, here's the thing. This is like one of those guy rules.
Show her boobs on the cover.
Here's one of the, you know. And now another guy rule number 49. If you're not showing anything, you're not really topless. You're just being a tease. There you go, another guy rule. Turn it up. Yeah, that's it, man. It's like on this Esquire magazine cover we've got here, which I really like, by the way. I really do love this picture of her. But she's bottomless. But you know what?
Yes.
She's posing in such a way you can't see anything. Therefore, it doesn't count. It's like saying, you know what it is? What if Sarah said that she was doing the show topless, but she was in a pitch black room where you couldn't see it? It doesn't count. You can't see anything. It doesn't count as being topless. So, and the only reason I bring this up is because this is like the fourth time she's tried to get publicity out of saying she was posing topless somewhere. She did this with, it wasn't Cosmo, it was, like Vogue or something, some other magazine. She's done this like four other times, Details, I think it was. Four different times she's tried to get publicity out of posing without her clothes on, but it's like you can never see anything, so it doesn't really matter.
So there, that's the Britney Watch.
All right. We should take a break here. We'll be back with more, including Jen Lane's birthday, Jolie with How Chicks Think. Top five, all that. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.